With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This is John Nasheed, New Mind Development Project. Peace be upon you all. That is, assalamu alaikum. We greet you this Friday afternoon. And the topic for today, it is Friday, so we'd like to talk very briefly, mainly for non-Muslims who don't understand religion and our method of congregational prayer called Juma. And Juma is congregational prayer that's held on Fridays, every Friday. And it starts after the noon sun begins its decline. We can't pray when the sun is straight up. It has to make its decline. As soon as it makes its decline, then the Juma service is in. Now, you don't have to pray it at that exactly time. You have up until the next time to pray. And many Muslims there in America and throughout the world, they establish their prayer within that time. And some try to make it convenient for the congregation. It lasts approximately an hour. I know the masjid that I go to now, we started, the dawn is called, the call to prayer is made at 1 o'clock, and at 12:30 is over. The prayer, that includes the prayer and everything. So really it's a half hour. I have even been to a masjid where it was only 20 minutes. And that kind of blew my mind. That was very quick. That includes everything, calling the people to prayer, the actual khutbah, and the salah. So that was very. And then some go on. They go on beyond an hour. You know, the ones that like to preach, the preachers. So they just go on and on. But nonetheless, that's the tradition. And we try to hold to the tradition the best that we know how, the best knowledge that we have. And quite naturally, we make mistakes sometimes explaining things, but don't get uptight because we could be corrected because there are people who have more knowledge than we do. And they don't debate you, they just correct you. If you accept it, praise be to God. If you don't, that's up to you. And quite naturally, God is the knower. He knows it all. Alhamdulillah. So this is a brief, trying to bring us a brief understanding of Juma, or our congregation. Congregation for us is on Friday. The Christians have theirs on Sunday, and the Jews have theirs on Saturday. Alhamdulillah. I mean, if we want to debate what day is better, that's completely up to the individuals that want to do that. But nonetheless, we all have services glorifying God, praising God. That's the most important thing. And as I mentioned earlier, God knows best. You know, the Juma time, like all of the prayers that Muslims make, you know, is regulated by the sun. For example, the daily prayers that we make is dawn prayer, the rising or the dawn time when the sun begins to show itself on the horizon. That's set by a time. Actually, you can go on the newspaper or the news, or you have a prayer schedule, and it tells you right there, as soon as it's dawn, the dawn is time for prayer. And then the highest elevation, once it declines, time for prayer. And then midday, right? Time for prayer. Actually, if you look up in this clear sky, you can see wherever the sun is located. Because Prophet Muhammad, he never had a compass or any kind of methods to see when the sun was in the right position and everything. He looked at the trees. And when the tree cast a shadow in a certain way, he knew it was time for that particular prayer. And then we know in the last prayer, when the sun sets on the horizon, western horizon, we know that we have to make a prayer before. And you know the conditions of the sun sets and the coloring and the horizon, etc. It has to be done before that. And quite nasty, God knows best. So Juma, or the congregational prayer for Muslims, It starts with the Adhan, and the Adhan is the call to prayer. You might have seen on television or movies, movie theater in the Middle East, or actually could have been in New York. You might even been in Harlem and heard him calling it from 116th Street, where you could hear it all the way up to 125th, 135th Street, right? It starts with that Adhan. And what is the purpose of it? To let all the Muslims know in that area, it's the call to prayer, right? That the time for prayer has come in, right? So then people prepare themselves to wash and do their ablution to make sure that they're purified. And they come to the masjid, and then they come to the masjid for that purpose and that purpose only, time for prayer. Don't come for chit-chat, to trade and barter and things of that nature. Come in and you make like two rakahs. That's tradition, the tradition of Prophet Muhammad. You come, you make two rakahs, and then you sit down and reflect into the time that the prayer is ready. And then there's another call that Imam lets you know, or the Mu'ezzin, which is called the caller of the prayer, lets you know that it's time for Juma to start. And then the leader, which we call Imam, he comes up on the podium and then he begins to give his khutbah. And a khutbah is a lecture. Just like if you college students that went to college, when you come into the auditorium, the instructor, he lectures you on subjects. And our lecture is based on the Holy Quran and the tradition of Prophet Muhammad, the example of Prophet Muhammad, what Prophet Muhammad said, what he did, or what he allowed in his lifetime. These are the things that we bringing to the Muslim population, because this is the message that God sent his prophet to deliver to the people. So why would we come in and talk about something else? We don't come to talk about how much money we have in the bank or what you did when you were here. That's not our concern about the individual who's giving the lecture or who's giving the lecture. That's not our concern. Our concern is a lecture that's based on the Quran and the traditions of Prophet Muhammad. So it's a lecture. It's not a preaching. You know, many of us come from church tradition in America, Christian church tradition. They preach. That's what they do. Actually, the pastor is called a preacher. We don't preach. And their preaching sometimes is emotional. Our message is not emotional. It's not an emotional message. It's a sober message. Because what? We're trying to get the people to motivate themselves to be all that they could be, what God created us to be. That's what the message is for. That's what the design is for. And it really don't take a long time. So the individual who gives a 20-minute khutbah, a half-hour khutbah, 45-minute khutbah, or hour khutbah, the message should be for that purpose. And really, to be truthful, you can do it in 20 minutes if you have sober-minded people. But sometime in our community, African-American community, it may go a little longer because we have been deprived of religion of Islam. Matter of fact, we have been deprived of knowledge. So it takes a little longer for us to wrestle with concepts and things of that nature. But quite nasty, God knows best. And then after the lecture, when the Imam completes his final two, it's in two parts. One part of the khutbah is the lecture, and then he stops, sits down, he gets up, and then he continues briefly. He might just read Arabic from the Quran, or he might continue his lecture, or whatever the case, and then he concludes. And once he concludes, qad qamitu salat, and then the muezzin, the caller to prayer, who's standing in the front now in the masjid, he stands up and he calls the ikama, right? The ikama is like the adhan, but it ends up by saying qad qamitu salat, qad qamitu salat. Prayer is ready, time for the actual salat. And that actually, after lining up and concluding two rakahs, two units of prayer, and then we call it tasleeming out, which is praising God on the left and praising God on right. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Right? And then the left, and that concludes it. That's the end of the khutbah. Alhamdulillah. So it's very basic. It's very, very simple. It's not long. It's not drawn out. It's to get a message for that day. Now, it's not a time just only for us to socialize with our brothers, but also focus on the message that the Imam gave. He might give you a topic. I know Imam Warathi Muhammad told us to form our khutbah with a topic, and also list in the khutbah the references that we are giving. It might be Al-Fatiha, the first chapter of the Holy Quran. That's what I'm going to talk about today. The first chapter of the Holy Quran called Al-Fatiha. And it's number 1 to 7, 7 verses. Now, when I go home, I can look that up and I can study it. And I have some information from the lecture, from the lecturer or the imam that gave me. And I can expound on the knowledge that is written in the Quran. So we should give opportunities for the worshipers to increase their study. That's what we came there for, to increase our study, to learn more and more about the Quran, because the Quran came to guide our life. You know, one of the things we asked for in Surah Al-Fatiha, the oft-repeated verses of the Quran, we asked Allah, this is a dua, a prayer. Show us the straight way. That's a prayer. Very simple, very basic. Show us the straight way. How do we find the straight way? The straight way in walking or running or whatever the case? No, the straight way as far as knowledge is concerned. How do I negotiate myself through this crazy world, right? That's the straight path. And if you believe that Allah is your guide, we don't see Allah, we don't see him, but we believe that he's guiding us, then we should have no fear. Our fear should eventually be erased once we become more trusting that Allah is guiding us. So you can't be guided through this crazy world, the devil's world that we're living in now, if you don't have the guidance of Allah. So this is just not a service, a social service that we go to on Friday. This is for the benefit. And some of the rituals that we go through to come in, the washing, the way you wash your hands, you wash your mouth, your nose, your ears, your face, your hair, your feet, etc. Purification, we're purifying ourselves. But it's bigger than that. The meaning of it is much, much bigger than that. If we take time to study the wudu or the washing, we'll see that it's much, much bigger than that. That's a ritual. Allah wants us to understand it. And when we come into the masjid, we step into the masjid on the right foot. Now, right foot doesn't mean that you necessarily have to step with the right foot. I mean, you traditionally, people do that. But it means come in with good intention, the right intentions. However you come, make sure you come into that space with the right intentions. And God will bless us. And then we also instructed to make sure that our lines are straight. It is very, very important. As a matter of fact, you'll see brothers and sisters, you know, making you line up straight. They push you back or up, forward, or whatever the case. So this is, it shows us something. Straighten the lines. Sometimes imams, I've seen imams take, you know, minutes, you know, take time to make sure that these lines are straight before they start the prayer. So it's important. So everything in a Muslim life, every ritual that we perform, right, is for higher understanding. I remember Imam Warathi Muhammad mentioned to us, think deep. He used to always tell us that. He said, God created us, or Allah created us with a powerful intellect, intelligence. And the more that we give to that intelligence, the more that we're going to receive back. So think deep. In other words, what you see on the surface is a physical picture, But what is the scientific meaning behind it? In other words, you look at a tree and you say, hey, is this a tree? You say, hey, that's a tree. Young person who don't have any understanding, they look at the tree and say, hey, that's a tree. That's an apple tree, a pine tree. But then the person of wisdom, he come up and say, well, what is the nature of the tree? That's what we're looking for. Matter of fact, that's what we're looking for in every kutbah. That's what we're looking for in every reading. That's what we're looking for in everything that we do as Muslims. And I'm sure there's others also. You know, just in closing here, there was a lady on a YouTube video I was watching. She's African. And I presented to her a question. And I asked her, what kind of relationships do Muslims and Christians have in her country? I talked about this yesterday too, but on a different topic. So I'm not going to mention her name or the country. What kind of relationship do they have? So she answered. I seen a video this morning. She said her best friend, one of her best friends, is a Muslim. But she said, we have some issues when it comes time to talking about religion. Of course we're going to have issues, because we believe that God is one, and they believe that God is in a Caucasian image represented in three parts, right? But she said, no, even in the whole country, they say they don't have problems. They said the Muslims worship on Friday and we worship on Sunday. So alhamdulillah. And that's the way it should be. You know, if we have debates or back and forth, we call it arguments, but all arguments are not bad. If we have these things, we should, the Prophet taught us to do it in the best way. Do it in the best way, and Allah will bless us. So I thank you, and we're getting preparing ourselves to go to Juma at 1 o'clock, and may Allah bless you Muslims all over the world with a beautiful Juma, and you Christians also with your services on Sunday, and also the Jewish community and other communities or other traditions and religion. May Allah bless us all with peace. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.